Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Second to None podcast, where we talk everything and all things SEC football related here on streaming on the 365 Sports YouTube channel. And then, of course, a part of the Believe Podcast Network. And, you know, there's a lot that TK that we could talk about today. And by the way, I'm Blaine Gilmer here with my co-host Tavares King. And Tavares, I'm so excited, man. I'm just ready to jump right into it, because there's a lot that we could talk today about, you know, Florida landing Billy Napier as their next coach, all those kind of things. But we're not. We're going to throw all that to the wayside for right now, because it is SEC championship game week, Georgia versus Alabama. Tavares, it doesn't get any better than this if you're a football fan.
It doesn't. It does not. I knew you was hyped when I got a text early this morning. I rolled over. Said, Blaine texted me early. What are you talking about? Blaine was hyped in the text talking about UGA versus Bama. So, yeah, man, we got us a good one, bro. Yeah, it's a dope matchup, bro. A really good offense, explosive offense versus a defense that, you know, is unheard of. So we got some great stuff to talk about tonight.
No doubt. And, you know, these are two teams that have done it in different ways, right? When you talk about Georgia absolutely just blowing the doors off of everybody, not even challenged this year in a fourth quarter, haven't had to play a meaningful fourth quarter except in the Clemson game. But even that one, even though it was 10-3, TK, that defense was so dominant that game, it never felt like that game was really threatened in any way. I mean, once Chris Smith got the pick six for Georgia, it was like, oh, that's it. It's done, because nobody's going to score. So that was kind of the method there. And then Alabama, you know, they've been scratching and clawing, taking care of business, finding ways to win, which good teams do that, TK. And you can't mm-hmm. say that Alabama's not a good team. I mean, they've been there at the, you know, top of college football for a long time. So just kind of your thoughts on how this season has played out for both teams.
Man, obviously, like you said, we've kind of stormed through everybody. We've taken everybody seriously. You know, guys have talked about it. Just keeping the main thing, not looking past anybody. And you can tell with the way that we play that we hadn't looked past anybody. Guys take their job extremely serious, especially on that defense. They want to keep everybody out of that end zone. And the offense has gotten better, progressively better throughout the year too. And as well as getting progressively better, we've gotten progressively healthier. It's exciting to be a dog right now. And then obviously talking about Bama, man, the thing that honestly scares me as a dog fan about them is that they are battle tested. They have been in games to where momentum hasn't been in their favor. And you said it, championship teams come out of things like that. And just like last weekend in Jordan-Hare Stadium, we talked about it, I think a couple episodes ago. Crazy shit happens in that stadium, bro. They just find ways to make stuff happen. And they almost did it again. But to my point and your point, great teams, championship teams find ways to win. And that's what they did, bro. So you gotta respect that, and you gotta know that Nick Saban and that high flying offense will be prepared and will be ready and will have a chip on their shoulder, because they're not dumb. They watch TV. They watch the media. They hear things. They see things. And they don't like being a 6-point underdog.
And that is a great segue there, TK, when you talk about 6 points, because we're talking about the spread right there. And when you're talking about the betting line on this game and all other games, everybody needs to remember that Bet Online is the number one spot to place your bets on. For basketball and football, it's the number one site for all of that action over there. Whether it's you're getting your odds, your props, your futures, any of that kind of stuff, you need to go check it out. Head over to the new and updated desktop or mobile website and sign up today to receive a 50% welcome bonus with the promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV to receive your bonus. And like I said, it's not just football. BetOnline has pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, and even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all your amazing offers available to you for the 2021 season. BetOnline, it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. So, TK, you know, 6-point favorite right off the bat, well, before we, you know, really dive into the details of this game, you've got the number one ranked Georgia Bulldogs facing right now. They're ranked number two. We'll see where Alabama falls down to. Well, they were ranked number three. Ohio State had jumped them this past week in the college football rankings. They were number three. Now Michigan takes down Ohio State. So twofold is my first question to you. What do you think about the 6-point line to start off with? And then also, where do you think on Tuesday night the committee will have Alabama ranked going into this game?
That first question, the 6 points, I think it's about right. It's about right, maybe a little less than that. I think it's going to be one of those nail-biting games. Every time we play these guys, it seems to be that kind of game. And just we talked about it. It's an offensive juggernaut versus a defense that's a brick wall. So it's gonna be a tight game, bro. It's gonna be a game where there's field position battles, and you might see it's gonna be a game where special teams will be a big factor. So yeah, bro. I think the points are kind of right where they need to be. You'll obviously they'll probably drop that a little bit. I think it's gonna come down to like 4.
Who knows? I think it depends on Alabama's health when it comes to where this line goes in terms of the betting odds of things. Man, if Brian Robinson Jr. went down with – everybody said, oh, it's an ankle. But when I saw him, he was grabbing the back of his leg. I was like, that's not an ankle. He's grabbing a hammy or something along those lines. And Nick Saban comes out today in his teleconference and confirms that it's a lower body muscle strain of some time. So, TK, Alabama came into the Iron Bowl with 2 healthy scholarship running backs in B-Rob and Trey Sanders. And now
who has also been banged up.
Who's been fragile for his first couple of years through there. And now, you know, if he's the only back there, if B-Rob is hampered by a hamstring going to the SEC championship game, just as a former athlete who's played not only the SEC but the NFL, you know, if it's a hamstring, if it's anything like that, a muscle strain of any kind, how hard is it to be able to prepare at a game of this magnitude with that type of injury and then also his ankle issue that he does have going on?
I mean, look, if it's something that's a, you know, soft tissue, then it's going to be tough throughout the week to prepare because you're going to have to and want to stay off of it to you know, get it better. So preparation for him will probably be done in the classroom, you know, in the training room, getting healthy, making sure his body's in tip top shape. But it's tough. It's tough to go a week with a muscle strain. He's not going to be at full tilt for sure. If it's soft tissue. So yeah, man, he's going to need help. And that was one of my questions. Who helps this guy? Who helps him? Who relieves him? Because bro, he's kind of had to do it all for them on the ground.
He had 30 touches in the Arkansas game. He was, you know, on pace to do a lot, but he had kept having to come out of the game against the Iron Bowl, just hampered here and there. They used Trey Sanders a little bit differently, split him out, throw him some screens, things of that nature, try to throw him the ball. So Alabama, you know, if Trey Sanders is that guy, I think you'll see a lot more, you know, some creativity, and that's not a negative thing. I mean, you could see some things with Slade Bolden in the backfield. They use Christian Leary. They've moved him over. They're even working with, you know, different linebackers and things like that. Heck, with the way that Florida torched Georgia a couple years ago on wheel routes and stuff like that, they may line your guy Jameson Williams back up there and try to get him on, you know, something creative like that. So who knows what Bill O'Brien and that sometimes invention, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, right? You know, when you have to do something, you come up with something creative. So I'm sure they will leave no stone unturned if Brian Robinson Jr. is unable to play or is hampered significantly in that game. But, you know, that's the injury side for Alabama. The main concern there is right there at running back with Brian Robinson Jr. And then also Armour Davis, the corner. you know, was unable to play this past game, and they had to go with Kool-Aid McKinstry, freshman over there.
Kool-Aid. Yeah.
Kool-Aid stepped up and played well. Honestly, a lot of people believe that he played better than Josh Jobe over there. So, and that's kind of the injury deal. So is Armour Davis and B-Rob, or will they be able to play for Alabama? That's kind of the question there on the injury front before we get into the numbers and the X's and O's and all that for Alabama. And then on Georgia for the injury front, I was at the Georgia Tech game. I was covering that game, and I saw both Kendall Milton and Chris Smith warming up before that game, TK. Of course, Chris Smith, who has – he got moved to – start down to star in the Tennessee game, replacing Latavius Breeny, and they put Dan Jackson at safety. And I would imagine
I like me some Dan Jackson, boy.
No doubt. Dirty Dan Jackson is able to run and hit. Also, Alabama has a great safety over there, and Helms over there. He was hitting some people
DeMarco,
over there. Yeah, DeMarco Helms. He was over there hitting some people in that game yesterday. So I think the safety position is somebody that Georgia and Alabama both have really hard hitting safeties over there. But here's the question for Georgia when it comes to coverage underneath, right? When Chris Smith goes down and plays that star position, it allows Georgia to be much better in man-to-man coverage in the slot on inside receivers, on tight ends, things like that. But he was not moving very well with that knee. I mean, it was he looked still very, very gimpy, was moving very gingerly on that knee. And Kendall Milton still didn't look quite ready either. He was looking much better than Chris Smith. They're in hopes of getting both of those guys back this game, Georgia is. But, TK, if Chris Smith cannot go and Georgia has to use Latavius Breeny there, you know, Latavius is a good run stopper. He does some great things on the edge, but he's had some struggles in pass coverage this year.
Yeah, he definitely has. And I think a good chunk of that has to do with communicating and just understanding what's going on. He flies around, bro. When you play fast, yeah, you're going to make mistakes. And he's one of those guys that he's a C-ball, hit-ball kind of guy. So things like play action do kind of sneak in on them. So yeah, I mean, I have all the trust in the world in them. One thing that we have that they don't have is guys that create havoc and make it easy for our nickels and our corners to make plays. So hopefully, you know, we're doing what we have to do up front and like we have all year. And you know,
well, in terms of the numbers, right? I mean, they've got a dude over there in Will Anderson, who's at 13 sacks on the year, and he's definitely able to create.
He's on pace for like 30 TFLs, bro. Tackles for loss, bro. Like what?
Yeah, he can definitely create havoc. But I think you're talking about in the numbers of Georgia up front, just being able, like, it's just waves that come at you. Those guys consistently being able to saw a clip of. For those that don't know, Jordan Yates was the quarterback for Georgia Tech. He's a guy who can really run. I mean, a dual threat type guy. He's a legit 4-5 type quarterback. And he, you know, dropped back. Georgia sent three. They put Trevon Walker at the nose and dropped Trevon back just to be a spy, right? He really didn't rush. And once Yates took off towards the left flat out there, Trevon disengaged from his blocker and ran him down over there in the flat. And that is a guy running at 200 or close to 300 pounds. He's covered kickoffs in his past, and they're able to use him creatively like that. I think as crafty, and make no bones about it, I'm coming out right now and saying Bryce Young is the best player in the country, in my opinion.
He's the Heisman.
You should give Bryce Young the Heisman, regardless of how he does in this game versus Georgia. You should give him the Heisman right now, because without Bryce Young, Alabama has 3-4 losses this season. I mean, way that they've played, they've not been consistent enough, and he has bailed out that offensive line time and time again. But as crafty as he is of slipping the pocket and being able to move, and it's not like he's moving extremely fast, TK, but he just looks slippery. I mean, him and Matt Corral are that same type of they've got, you know, fluidity in their hips. They're able to make people miss and then just deliver ridiculously accurate and strong throws down the field on the run, different platforms, things like that. So I think the chess match there is going to be, okay, how does Bryce Young choose to move, when he moves, and what is Georgia's plan for it when he does?
Yeah, 100%. You talk. He is special, bro. His pocket presence is crazy to be so young. Moving in the pocket, always constantly keeping his eyes downfield. You see multiple times where he escapes the pocket, and extends the play, and then they launch one downfield. So I mean, he's a really special player. So I think that is a key to the game, is us hitting home and getting to him. And not just getting to him, bro, like hitting him.
Which
Because
Auburn did a
there
lot.
isn't because but yeah, oh God. Yeah. No, he's another guy that's probably gonna be in the training room banged up, hurting, because Auburn hit home, bro. They didn't even
Seven
blitz.
sacks, I think it was. I
It
mean,
was times they didn't even blitz and they hit home. So he's definitely banged up, but I think for a key for Georgia in this game would be is gonna be to hit him, because yeah, there is no Jalen Hurts to come in.
yeah, you saw what happened with dude buddy old Bear Bryant's grandson when Paul Tyson, when they had the bad snap on the field goal. He didn't look like he wanted that ball in his hands at all. Like he was like, oh my Lord.
Fire, fire. Yeah.
If that's
81
Bryce,
didn't run out in the flat either, though. It was all bad.
if that's Tua back in the day, or that's Jalen Hurts, the defense all of a sudden is thinking, oh no, what's going to happen here? They're able to make that kind of play. But when you talk about Auburn with their front being able to get after, Derek Hall had 3 sacks on his own. Smoke Monday with a sack. Marcus Harris with a sack. Colby Wooden had a sack. TD Moultrie was eating Damian George's lunch over there. I mean, TD Moultrie was just slamming up against Damian George every down going over there on the left-hand side of the defense, the right-hand side of the offense. So that brings up, before we get into the stats and the numbers and all that, kind of a interesting thing here is you've got Georgia's strength, defensive front, okay, versus Alabama's weakness, which is offensive line. You have Alabama's strength, which is vertical passing game, versus what is relatively Georgia's strength, with maybe some missteps in pass coverage at times down the field when the pressure is not there. So that intrigues me, TK, to see how that's going to play out when Alabama's on offense.
No, 100%. That is, I think, the biggest key to the game is how they control the line of scrimmage on offense, and how we control the line of scrimmage defensively, wreaking havoc. Because if I really think, it's another thing that spooks me. If we don't get home, if we're not getting back there, getting to Bryce Young, then things like that will happen. Because they're special out wide, bro. You mentioned it. They got Jameson. They got Mitchie, who finished the game with the
Even
walk-off.
Latu even Latu and Billingsley at tight end. I mean, they make some
They got
bonehead plays from time to
they
time,
got
but
pieces.
they're players. I mean, they can go Slade Bolden. He's crafty. He can
Pieces.
do some things. It's interesting to see on that side of the ball. And then finally, to finish off, I started talking about Georgia on the injury front, and that's how we got here with Chris Smith. Talking about whether he'll be available or not. Kendall Milton, and then we saw the return of George Pickens for the Georgia Tech game.
Jorge,
Oh
my
yeah,
dog.
Jorge, as TK affectionately calls him. But when it comes to that, TK, you've played, like I said, wide receiver in the NFL. You've played wide receiver in SEC championship games. I mean, you've been to this level. When there's a guy like, basically take a George Pickens, right? And you've played around guys like a Calvin Johnson and people like that. When there's a guy that is at that ability and that size out there, just talk to people what that does to the defense, just them lining up out there.
A lot. I mean, everybody knows how special George Pickens is, as an athlete, as a receiver. So it's not like, again, Nick Saban is a extremely smart man. He understands that if George Pickens is out there, that he's a threat. He can do some damage. So defensively, you're gonna have to put a guy over top of him. You're gonna have to put a safety over top of them. You might have to play a cloud coverage, a cover two man or something like that. So just adding that guy to a part of the field kind of takes away two people in a sense. So it's getting a guy like him back is huge for Georgia's offense for sure. It opens up. I feel like it opens up the playbook from a standpoint of that. It's going to take people out of position. It's going to open up things for a Brock Bowers, who's a beast, Big O. Bro, did you see how Brock Havius take off on him, bro?
I work with Brent Rollins, who covers things for PFF and also works with us at UGASports.com, and he did a still shot on the TV where when Brock catches the slant right there, there were six guys deeper in the field than he was, six guys, and he split all six of them and took it 74 yards for the TD. So he's a pretty special player for sure. So now, TK, let's go ahead and dive deeper into this matchup by the numbers here. And we see the 12-0, 8-0 in the SEC Georgia Bulldogs facing the 11-1, 7-1, the only loss being that loss to Texas A&M at College Station. Points per game, TK, Alabama's fifth in the country. Georgia is sixth in the country in terms of putting up points per game, 42.7 to 40.7. But there is a major disparity there when it comes to the opponent's point per game. TK, Georgia is averaging, and this is with throwing a pick six in the UAB game. So that wasn't even really on the defense. 6.9 points per game through 12 games. That is the lowest in a long, long time. Alabama allowing 19.9 points per game. They allowed 35 to Arkansas and 22 to Auburn in their last two games. You see the yards per game, Alabama, they're going to put up those yards, TK, almost averaging 500 yards per contest. And then the yards allowed per game, you got 230 for Georgia, 292. Anything kind of just stick out to you right off the bat when you look on the surface here in terms of Georgia and Alabama, in terms of just the surface level stats here?
Yeah, obviously, I mean, that just the opponent's points per game, you know, you look at that and you just it kind of definitely jumps out. We played some of the same folks and they've done some damage to those guys and have done nothing on us. So that does kind of make you raise your eyebrows a little bit. But you said it. These dudes score points. They score a crap ton of points, bro. They're explosive. And that's how they score their points. Explosive big plays. We haven't seen that. So again, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting from that standpoint. We haven't seen an offense, of this caliber.
Oh yeah. No, there's no doubt. When I love how on Twitter and all this stuff, people say, or they'll call into the Fine Bomb show or whatever. And they'll say, Georgia hadn't played an offense all year. Well, guess what? Alabama hasn't played a defense with one scintilla of the amount of talent or team chemistry as Georgia's either. So it is going to be I agree. Georgia has faced nowhere even close to an offense as dynamic. Now, Tennessee's offense is explosive. There's an explosive and as fast paced as anybody.
Right. The way they play is different.
So, yeah. And I will say, when Auburn had Bo Nix, that offense was a lot more dangerous than it was the offense that Alabama faced last week with TJ Finley at quarterback.
Bo Nix would have beat them. They would have got beat last week.
If Bo Nix is in that Iron Bowl yesterday, that's a bad outcome for Alabama, in my opinion. But who knows? It could have turned out differently because Bo giveth and he taketh away, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, Bo will scramble around and throw a touchdown pass, but Bo also got them little bitty Burger King hands you talked about, let it slip out of the back of his hands and go, you know, for a scoop and score like Texas A&M over there. So we'll see what happens in terms of that. But we're diving a little bit deeper in here, common opponents, TK, you mentioned this. This has been something that's been made a big deal out of, and for some reason it hadn't saved there. I tried to change it to Tennessee. I know Georgia only beat Tennessee 41-17, not 41-7, so forgive me for that typo there on the screen. But Arkansas, Both teams played them. Georgia early on in the year when Arkansas was a top 10 team. I think they were number 8 in the country, and they absolutely stonewalled them at home 37-0. Alabama got to play an Arkansas team that was ranked in the top 25. Also, they played them at home. They survived 42-35, preventing Arkansas from getting an onside kick with it for a chance to try to tie it there at the end of the game. Auburn, 34-10. Georgia goes to Auburn, wins 34-10 with Bo Nix. Then, Alabama in the Iron Bowl, 4 overtimes yesterday. Everybody saw it, 24-22. TK, I know it's a rivalry game in terms of the Iron Bowl, and it's one of the most hate-filled rivalries in all the country. It's a special spectacle, a special game, special environment. But how concerned do you think, if truth be told, I know Nick Saban was smiling and doing his, dancing with Miss Terry behind the scenes and all that kind of stuff afterwards, but how concerned do you think the Alabama coaching staff is today after they've reviewed that film and knowing what they have lying ahead of them?
Man, I think they got to be pretty concerned, especially on the offensive side of the ball. That offensive line looked extremely leaky yesterday.
7 sacks.
Yeah, and this Georgia, this is not that. We're gonna blitz, which they didn't do a lot of yesterday.
At the end, they brought pressure all day, but then at the end, Derek Mason laid off of Alabama.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So I mean, we're gonna mix it up. We're obviously more talented up front than they are. So, I mean, I think that they've got some concerns for sure.
Yeah. So that was an interesting outcome right there. Florida. Here's another interesting deal. Earlier this year, Florida was obviously a more energized team. I would think you would be fair to say and argue when they faced Alabama. They were juiced up. It was at home at the Swamp. So I will give it to Alabama. They got Florida's absolute best shot that day. And Florida ran the ball for 245 yards on them. And, we'll kind of see how much that translates for later in the year, TK, when you talk about can anything be taken this late in the game and all that kind of stuff in terms of, all right, going back and see what worked, but who knows? We'll see what that can translate into. And teams have changed over time, but
right.
Georgia took it to Florida. Alabama survived Florida. Tennessee, like I said, that score is wrong. I didn't have it correct on there. It's 41-17. And then you have Tennessee 52-24 losing in Tuscaloosa. Georgia was at Knoxville. So those are the common opponents. Those kind of speak for themselves. I want to dig into some more numbers here, TK. You see the rushing yards per game, Georgia 202. This is where I think Alabama has some questions to answer. We talked about Brian Robinson Jr.'s injury. Okay. If he is hampered, if he's not able to go, TK, what does this rushing attack look like with Trey Sanders, and do they get others involved, and will they be able to produce even close to their 149.8 average against this Georgia defense?
Yeah, that was my question. Who helps this guy? Who relieves B-Rob and helps them in the running game other than him if he's not there? And backing up, I talked about this last week. I said it's not just running the ball that running backs have to do. It's pass pro. We talked about that last week. So even from that perspective, pass protection is going to be a huge thing in this game as well, bro.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting. I think that, just knowing how it goes, Trey Sanders, and he's got Nick Saban says it all the time, pride and performance, right? It's not like he's going to go out there and not perform, right? He came to Alabama wanting to be in this position. He's going to get a chance to be in this position. And I think, obviously you can't discount when you got the GOAT on the sideline over there, Nick Saban, right? You can't discount a team like that, even when they're maybe down or they've been beat up or they lost a bunch of talent last year. Nick Saban has a way of getting his team motivated, getting his team, you know, ready to compete in these big games, and they seem unfazed when something goes bad. So I will give it that I'm sure they will find some ways to run the football at certain times. I don't know if they can do it consistently on this Georgia front, TK.
I don't think they can do it consistently either. Again, you look at yesterday's game. We're not that, bro. And I say yesterday's game because that's the closest thing we have to go off of.
Well, Trey Sanders finished the game. He had, I think, 23 yards on 10 carries. I mean, it was 2.3 yards per attempt. I mean, Brian Robinson Jr. Was, you know, unable to finish that game. He ripped off a 37-yard run there late, and that was really one of the more explosive plays for Alabama on the day. That's what shocked me, TK. Is that when you see this yards per game on passing, Alabama's averaging 341 passing yards per game, but it just didn't seem like those big chunk plays were there until that 97-yard drive at the end when they needed it. They're able to make some throws to Ja'Cory Brooks, all these kind of guys that are stepping up when Jameson Williams was out. And that is the mark of a good team, TK. So I don't want anybody to discount the fact that we're saying Alabama is – one of the best teams in the entire country. It's just, Alabama's kind of a victim of their own success, right? You compare them to the benchmark of what Alabama has been, you know, and they're definitely not that this year.
No, they're not. I mean, and you can see it in the numbers, especially the running game numbers. If you're talking about a Bama team of old, you're talking about a TJ Yeldon, you're talking about a Trent Richardson, you're talking about guys that
you're talking about Jalen Waddle, who just went off today at the NFL, being there. Devontae Smith, who was a Heisman Trophy winner.
Right.
You know, when you have four NFL first round draft picks lined up at wide receiver at the same time for a few years there, TK, that's pretty impressive.
No, it's amazing what they do over there out wide and the caliber of players that they bring in and put in the league year in and year out. So it's definitely impressive. Especially at the receiver position.
No doubt. So when I look at this screen, I look at this graphic, TK, I see the yards per game for Alabama. Obviously, that's a concern for Georgia. They have to make sure their secondary is communicating well. You said that. You know, it's not just man-to-man coverage. It's communication, right? Making sure you don't miss anything. You know, John Metchie blew that game open in the second half last year. Georgia led at halftime, and then John Metchie goes off, you know, they get crossed up on a little switch route and he burns them deep. And then it was curtains after that. It was over with. Alabama wins that game. That's what Georgia must prevent if they want to win this game. And Alabama is going to have to really hope that Bryce Young can elude some free rushers, because there's going to be free rushers. And then he's going to be able to, you know, then he's got to be able to find some guys open. And if he does that, that's where Georgia's got to do, as you say, plaster, right? They got to stick to that guy and not let him get off. But that's hard to do when you got receivers the caliber of Jameson Williams and John Metchie.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough as hell to cover a dude for – I mean, the average football play is like 4 seconds. So it's tough to cover a guy for seven, 6 seconds. Yeah, 7, 6, 7, 8 seconds, especially when they're running 4-3, 4-4, you know, 4-2 sometimes. So it's definitely – and Jameson is that kind of cat. So it's definitely tough. So we definitely got to corral to the quarterback, because that's what he does. He extends plays and eyes are constantly downfield. So we got to get to him.
Yeah. So when you talk about that, you talk about the pass down the field, that's Alabama's, you know, calling card. That's what they need to be able to do. But here's the other thing that stood out for me here, TK. Look at on the screen where it says sacks again.
I'm looking.
And then TFLs against. Georgia has allowed 8 sacks all year. Okay, Will Anderson has 13 sacks by himself this year for Alabama. Georgia's allowed 8 sacks on the season, and Alabama has allowed 36 sacks this year, TK. They're good. That's the 112th in the country. They are Bryce Young is getting hit, and he's getting hit often. And then also the tackles for a loss, the run game, the negative run plays, they've allowed 76 tackles for a loss this year compared to Georgia only allowing 36 tackles for a loss. But you will have to say Dallas Turner and Will Anderson are creating havoc back there, and they've got 91 tackles for a loss to their credit. So Alabama has more tackles to loss to their credit, but man, allowing that many sacks and that many tackles for a loss is very uncharacteristic of a Nick Saban coached offensive line.
Dude, that's so eye-opening. It's extremely eye-opening. It's crazy that they're having success. 36 sacks, bro. That's crazy. And that just let me know we gonna hit home.
Yeah, I think Georgia will definitely get multiple sacks this game. My question is, what's the over-under on Bryce Young's pass attempts, right? If Bryce Young has to attempt, let's see how many he attempted yesterday. He attempted 51 passes to beat Auburn in 4 overtimes yesterday, TK. That tells me that they're not going to be able to run the ball consistently. They're just not. There will be no way that they'll be able to run the ball consistently on Georgia. If he drops back 51 times, 40 or more times on Georgia, Georgia's going to have at least, if you say they get home just, 5% of the time, they're going to have, 4, 5, 6 sacks. I mean, so we'll see what ends up happening on that end. But I thought it was very, very alarming for Alabama when it comes to that. But it's alarming for Georgia, that yards per game passing in terms of Alabama. They can get the ball down the field in a hurry. They got to avoid the big plays. TK, when you go down into it even more, one of the criticisms early on for Stetson Bennett was he doesn't convert well on third down. Georgia is in the top 25 in the country now, converting at 45.5% on third down. Alabama is one of the best in the entire country, converting 53.9% on third down. And that's just what happens when you got a dude like Bryce Young that is able to just not only do things with his legs, but extend plays and be so accurate.
Yeah, as well as he's you said it, he's accurate as hell, bro. So those, when it's third and three and you need 4, he's going to pinpoint that thing in there. And I've seen him do it all year long. So
hold on, TK. We got a comment that I'm going to have to let you respond to. This guy says,
man, go on. I'm
glad Bowers is slow.
Entertaining that, bro.
Brock Bowers hit 21 miles per hour on the GPS going down the sideline against UAB earlier this year.
Them cars in your profile slow.
Yeah, that when Brock Bowers
ain't slow.
When you talk about Brock Bowers, he's a legit 4.5 40 guy, and he is 6'4", 235 pounds. So you might want to do a little more research on that one. That'd be like us coming out and saying, Jameson Williams is slow. I mean, the dude can pick him up and run him down. That's just not truthful right there. So, and this, here we go. Brian Ashley clocked 21 miles per hour at 6'4", 230. Yeah.
That's moving, my brother.
Dude is a player, but
with some pads on.
Both defenses, TK, are very good on third down. They're two of the better in the country at keeping people, from converting on third down, 32% each. And then here's both good at, coming back into the red zone. Georgia struggled to score touchdowns this year in the red zone, where Alabama's been very good at scoring touchdowns in the red zone. However, Alabama's defense is allowing people to convert in the red zone for points 86.7% of the time, which is down towards the 100 mark in the country, where Georgia is number one in the entire country. Even when teams get into the red zone, they only end up going away with points 54.5% of the time, good for number one in the country. So what do you think about the red area in this game? What do you think Alabama would be able to go to in the red area? Like, who would you think they'd be able to target? And same thing for Georgia. Like, what do you think their strategy would be getting down into the red area versus Alabama?
Man, well, obviously you see it there. Folks are having success on Bama in the red zone. So I would think that we would be able to do so as well. But
who would you target if you're
who
top
would
Lincoln?
I target? Probably yeah. Brock Bowers or a Big O. You know,
how about
a
George Pickens on a fade route if he comes in there?
Yeah, 100%. 100%, bro. I would just continue to do what we do. But definitely Big Brock, definitely Big O, because they're mismatches for guys for sure. So yeah, definitely hit those tight ends.
On the Alabama side, they have some tight ends that cannot be ignored. I know Billingsley has been had some struggles off the field, struggles. Nick Saban's had to chastise him in, you know, through the media several times this year. Does he really want to play? Does he want to buy in? Does he want to do things the Alabama way? But you can't ignore the kind of athlete that he is. Also, Latu, he's had some ball security issues. He's fumbled a few times, you know, but he's a big, talented tight end. Those guys can both get it done. And then when you talk about John Metchie, that's where he works, man. That's where him and Slade Bolden do their work. I mean, when it gets tight right there, and if you're playing any kind of zone, they're so good at you know, seeing the holes in that zone and being able to – you know, being able to sit it down in there. And Georgia's playing more zone this year, TK, and I expect them to mix it up between man and zone a good bit.
Yeah, you just mentioned a cat that, I mean, I like a lot. John Metchie, I talked about him, I think, earlier in the year, about his game evolving. And I think I've seen his game evolve. It's kind of funny. His intermediate routes, his attention to detail on side adjustments are huge. And I've seen it on more than one account this year. And it does. It helps guys, young guys like a Bryce Young out when you can have a reliable guy in the red area that you know is going to get it done. Because he's a route runner, bro.
He's a chain mover, right? When you need a first down, you know, it's third and medium to third and long. John Metchie knows where those sticks are, and he's unable to run his route in such a way where he's going to get separation at the right time. So Georgia will have to get pressure on Bryce. Getting pressure is going to be the key, because you're not going to be able to cover these guys all night long.
No, you can't. And that's what people do struggle with. Obviously, we just saw them on the last slide. People are in the backfield, but they got a special cat back there, number 9, that can maneuver in the pocket, keep his eyes downfield, and launch that thing up. So, I mean, do they do that often? That happens probably several times a game. So, to your point, when we do pressure him and we are back there, we got to get him on the ground.
And lastly, let's talk about some key players. Obviously, we're not talking about the quarterbacks here, because obviously in football, the quarterbacks are key players, right? Bryce Young is a key. If he goes off and has the game of his life, well, Alabama will win the game, you know? I mean, because he's already had some unbelievable performances this year. If he just puts magic out there, that's how Alabama, you know, wins, is being able just to play off the charts. Stetson Bennett, of course, he's got to be efficient, all that kind of stuff. But these players that I'm putting out here for key players are guys who, how they play in, you know, in certain matchups, that will determine the game. That will determine how they do. Because, like for Georgia there, Trevon Walker, we talked about Trevon, right? And him being able to move all the way down from an outside backer all the way down to a nose guard and you know, spy on people. They drop him back into coverage, all that kind of stuff. So when it comes down to it, where does Trevon Walker line up? Do they put him outside over on Damian George or Chris Owens or whoever lines up at right tackle? Because that's been a Achilles heel for Alabama. Or, you know, where does Trevon Walker line up and what kind of mismatch that would be? And then on the flip side, TK, you got Will Anderson, who's been the guy all year in terms of, you know, being able to get things done for Alabama, getting those sacks. And how will he match up against, you know, Warren McClendon over there? Will Warren McClendon be able to hold things down? Does Georgia use running backs and tight ends to chip him? What do you think about Trevon Walker for Georgia and Will Anderson for Alabama as kind of key guys for up front? I know that a lot of people are talking about Dallas Turner in the chat and things like that, but you know, it's when it comes down to it, Will Anderson, if he plays really, really well, we'll see how things turn out.
Yeah, bro, he's a complete game changer. When I think about Will Anderson, I think about somebody like reminds me of Jarvis Jones from back in the day. Jarvis was a cat that can change a game, can take over a game, wins his one-on-one matchup time after time after time, plays with great effort, relentless effort, and is a leader. And I think that obviously Will Anderson is the leader of that defense. Talking about Trey, that will be intriguing, but he's not the only one. So he's not the only one that can do all that. We've got several guys, and you talked about it before. So we've got several guys that can rotate and create havoc for their right tackle. So it could be a rough outing for that kid, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how many, you know, plays that because Will Anderson, I mean, he's just, when he's on the field, his hair's on fire. I mean, he is the heart and soul of that team. He plays with so much, but you can't just go down after down after down. They've got to rotate in there. So what will the rotation be like? Will Dallas Turner be able to step up on the other side and continue to make plays? He's done great as a freshman. Mm-hmm. That was a big recruit. Yeah, nice. Henry To'oto'o is good at run stopping. He cannot cover anybody to save his life. So
And I said that was something I said earlier in the year, bro, is that they struggle on the second level covering. So they still do. So it'll be great.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens on that matchup. I've got two DBs in there as well, Keely Ringo and Josh Jobe. And the reason I put those on there is because, you know, I think Kool-Aid McKinstry is the better corner for if Armour Davis isn't able to go. I think Kool-Aid McKinstry is their best corner right now. Because Josh Jobe is routinely, you know, having plays made on him, and you know, De'Aaron Kendrick for Georgia. That, you know, he's played in games this magnitude, TK. He's played on teams that have beaten Alabama in national championship games, right? I mean, he's that kind of guy that transferred from Clemson over, so he's used to playing games this magnitude. I'm interested to see, okay, when it comes down to it, and you've got John Metchie or Jameson Williams on Keely Ringo, guy who is for all intents and purposes a freshman because of, you know, not getting to play his first year because of a shoulder injury. How does he hold up? There's been times this year where Keely Ringo has been called for pass interference penalties. He hadn't had touchdowns scored on him, but he's been called for pass interference because he's been beat deep and he just tackles the guy to prevent it from being a touchdown.
Bro, that's funny when DBs do stuff like that. But bro, that's one of my keys to the game is make plays out wide. We're gonna have to make plays out wide defensively. That's something that we're gonna have to do. Jameson Williams is top tier. He's special. Yeah. So we got to figure out ways to slow him down. And Keely Ringo, can play the way that he's been playing. I feel like he can have success, but that's a matchup that I am intrigued in. Obviously, receiver DB matchup, and we'll do different things too. So it's not like it'll just be one-on-one coverage out there. They'll be running ones. He'll drop back and play some zone, but there's going to be opportunities to make plays on the ball in the air. So. Yeah. We need to be there when those opportunities are there. We need to be right there on them. So hopefully Keely plays well like he's been doing, and we don't have to tackle anybody.
And then I think that when you talk about the go-to guys, the playmaker guys for these teams, like you mentioned, Jameson Williams, he's that dude. Alabama's offense, you know, started struggling pretty mightily once, he was out with that targeting penalty.
But think about it like this. You asked this question. You said that offense struggles because they can't do what they normally do. Getting George Pickens back is like having a Jameson Williams to answer that question.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's a big deal. And obviously
we have to worry about him a lot like everybody else does.
Oh, Kirby Smart and Nick Saban know each other as well as anybody, right? And they know how maniacal each other are and how much they're gonna think through things and how much they want to, you know, see each other, you know, do certain things and how they're gonna react to them. Kirby Smart strategically put George Pickens out there in various formations on various downs and distances. So Nick Saban would have grad assistants and student assistants charting every blade of grass he was on, what hash mark, you know, what the time on the clock was, all that kind of stuff, because he wanted him to be able to prepare. Hey, what is Georgia going to do with George Pickens when they let him loose? Right. I mean, because they were just putting him out there, getting him comfortable, letting him get in that one catch, get a hit, that kind of thing. I would expect him to get more targets, but back to kind of what we're talking about on here with Jameson Williams and Brock Bowers, kind of the last two, they are the go-to guys for each one of these two teams. They are the guys who are going to be explosive, and I don't think that you could have a more intriguing matchup for either one. Jameson Williams on Georgia's corners, I think if you ask anybody, even though Georgia's corners have played well during this year, I think that's the biggest question mark on Georgia's team. How are those corners going to be able to play, excluding if Chris Smith can't play? Then you got some issues at star over there and seeing what happens. But the corners on Jameson Williams, and then also Brock Bowers, okay? Brock Bowers on Alabama's safeties, whether it's Hellman's or whether it is Battle or whether it's Henry Toutou at linebacker, you know, whoever Brock Bowers is matched up on, that is a mismatch in favor of Georgia. You know, Branch, okay, that's fine. He doesn't have the size to be able to run with Brock Bowers. He can box him out, basically, is what that's going to be. So I'm interested to see, does Georgia target the tight ends enough as they need to? And can, on the flip side, will the corners be able to contain Jameson Williams? Because it's like old, you know, it's like Stu on ESPN used to say, you know, over there, you're not going to stop him. You can only hope to contain him, right? I mean, because that's all it is. You're not going to shut him down. You can only hope to contain him, and that's what Georgia has to do with Jameson Williams.
Yeah, that's another key to the game, bro. They're going to target him. Bryce Young's going to look for him. So whoever lines up on him, whether it's Keeley or any other of our other DBs, has to be locked in, has to be cued in, and not just the guy guarding him. If we're playing a zone, that safety, they need to know where Jameson Williams is.
Absolutely. So TK, we've taken into account Georgia's defensive front versus Auburn's offensive line, the struggles they've had there. I give, when you're just going on to it, I give advantage offense, Georgia's defensive front versus Alabama's offensive front, I give the advantage to Georgia. When it comes to Alabama's wide receivers, outside receivers versus Georgia's corners, I give the advantage to Alabama. I think they're better, but Georgia's going to have to neutralize that with their defensive front. When you go linebackers and tight ends when you go running backs and tight ends for Georgia versus Alabama's linebackers, I give Georgia the advantage there. I think I've not had a whole lot of faith in Georgia's and Alabama's linebackers since that Florida game where we saw them just running all over the field in misdirections, not reading things correctly, not filling the proper gaps, things like that. So I think gap integrity could be a big deal there. And TK, we've not even hardly talked about James Cook, who he had a coming out party against Alabama last year, splitting out wide, touchdown. And, you know, he did the same thing as Tennessee this year. He could be an integral part of this game for Georgia.
Yeah. I mean, a cat like that is a Swiss Army knife. Somebody that can – I actually played with his brother. He was used like that, out wide, in the backfield. Special dude that can catch out of the backfield. And when he gets it in his hands, poo.
No doubt. Special.
So hopefully having him and a George Pickens on the field at the same time and a Brock Bowers can create some real deal havoc.
Now, at the same time, you know, I said I would give Georgia's defensive front versus Alabama's offensive front. I'd give Georgia the advantage. I give Alabama's defensive front versus Georgia's offensive front. I give them the advantage with Will Anderson and with Dallas Turner. I mean, Georgia's going to have to find some creative ways to make sure those guys get blocked up, because that I think that is the strong suit of Alabama's teams this year is that defensive front, the pressure by Will Anderson. I think the pressure by Dallas Turner, who's a phenomenal prospect, you know, they're able to do a lot of things up front. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how Georgia's offensive line holds up, even though they've only allowed 8 sacks this year. TK, a lot of that reason they haven't allowed more sacks is because Stetson has eluded pressure. He's ran and he's thrown the ball away when he's needed to. So that's been the interesting thing there. You know, Stetson Bennett, we got to talk about it here. Quarterback advantage, obviously, you're going to give it to Alabama. Bryce Young, best player in the country. But here's my question, TK. Do you think Stetson Bennett playing Alabama at Alabama last year, being the unquestioned starter now going throughout the rest of this season, do you think that Stetson Bennett will be prepared for this moment, and how do you think he'll play against Alabama in the SEC championship game?
I think he'll be prepared. I think he'll be confident because he's battle tested against these guys in their place. I think he'll have that in his mind. Like, shit, they kind of kicked my ass last year. So, you know, he'll have a little chip on his shoulder. So I think he'll be ready. And one thing about Stetson is, you said it, he does the smart things. He does the right things. He plays complementary football. And with that, when you play complementary football, you help out your teammates. They become easy targets for you. So I think that him playing the way he plays helps out this team.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, we'll see how Stetson Bennett. I think one thing you're going to see from Stetson Bennett is people forget going into this game in the past, right? You've had Alabama's been the one that's had two stud quarterbacks both able to play, and that's been what has sunk Georgia is when the backup quarterback has come in for Alabama. I don't think Georgia's going to be afraid to let Stetson Bennett use his legs in this game because, you know, heaven forbid he gets banged up or something like that. They have a former 5-star sitting over there on the bench in JT Daniels.
The irony in that, though, I mean, the irony in itself is crazy, but if something like that were to happen, bro, that'd just be insane.
It would be insane, but we hope everybody in this game goes injury-free and is able 100%. To make it through it 100%. I want to see everybody. I want to see Brian Robinson Jr. at full strength. I want to see George Pickens at full strength.
I want to see best on best, man.
These two, you know, titans of the SEC over the last 5-6 years be able to go at it. And this is what the trilogy, right? I mean, this is rematch number 3 since Kirby's been there. So you know, we'll see if third time is a charm it's not the rematch. They played, this is the fourth time, because the third time was last year. So this is rematch number 4. Kirby 0-3 against Saban, but has had the lead in at halftime at all 3 games. So can Georgia finish? They're gonna, you know, starting fast is something that Kirby Smart mentioned that he's been preaching to his team all year, and they've done so. The games have been out of reach at halftime against every team that they've played this year, except the Kentucky game pretty much and Clemson. The Kentucky game was 14-10, I think. Clemson was either 0-0 or 3-3, something along those lines at halftime. But it'll be interesting to see where this one is come halftime. We'll find out about, you know, 6 o'clock on Saturday night with all the TV shortages, timeouts. I know it's going to be a 4-hour, 4.5-hour game with all that kind of stuff. It'll drag on forever. Some big money being thrown down on those advertisements, TK.
So they're going to get big cheddar.
Yeah, they're going to get those in. So without further ado here, we've talked about the matchups. We've talked about, you know, who has the advantage over who in the position groups and things like that. It is a 6-point Georgia's getting 6 points right here. They're a 6-point favorite. So what is your score prediction? Who do you think covers, and who's going to be the SEC champion and who's going to be moving on to the playoffs.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good game, bro. Again, like I said at the beginning, I think it's going to be a nail biter. My keys to victory for Georgia would be getting pressure. You're going to have to get pressure. You're going to have to, you know, wreak havoc and then run the ball. Obviously, we talked about Florida having success with running the ball. And then I said it, make plays out wide defensively and offensively, but more so, we're gonna have to make plays defensively if we're gonna win this game. And then for Bama, they gotta control the line of scrimmage on the offense. If they don't do that, bro, it's a wrap. Plain and simple, it's a wrap. And then they gotta have explosive plays. That's how they win games all year. That's what they do. And if they're able to do that on us, then it could get scary. With that. I think we get it done, man. I think we get it done in a really close one. Another really good game. I think we come out on top 28-24.
28-24, Georgia. So TK is going to take Alabama to cover. He's taking Georgia to win outright. Here's my thinking on this. And listen, Nick Saban's coach teams, you never, ever, ever, and I can assure you, Kirby Smart and that Georgia team, nobody will be overlooking any part of that team, whether it's John Metchie, whether it's Jameson Williams, whether it's, you know, Will Anderson, whether it's, you know, Dallas Turner, whether it's, you know, Helms or Battle. I mean, even Josh Job, none of these guys, they're not going to overlook anybody. They're not going to take anything for granted. But having said this, Alabama's backs are against a wall. They're going to come out fighting. I expect it to be a tight game going forward. But here's what I do think. I think people cannot overstate how physical the last two contests that Alabama has played have been with Arkansas and Auburn. I think that takes a toll on your body. These are human beings, you know. Georgia has been able to Georgia's been able to kind of rest up and quite honestly prepare for Alabama without having to prepare for Charleston Southern and without having to prepare for Georgia Tech. They've been able to work basically on Alabama the last 2 weeks. I think that preparation, that amount of being fresh, you know, has an impact. I think Georgia pulls away in this one at the end. I'm going to take Georgia to win this one 34-21 in the SEC championship game. And I think Georgia moves on. Number one seed, Alabama, will be out of the playoff picture entirely for the first time since the 2019 season, I guess. So a couple years over there, but it seems like they're in it right there every year. Of course, it's a shocking development when they're not. Ohio State already out. Clemson's out. I think Alabama will be the next, blue blood perennial power to be bounced from the playoff picture. And I think that happens on Saturday from Georgia, like I said, 34-21. So we've broken down this game about, 10 ways to Sunday, TK. We've diced it up as much as we can. Everybody, we appreciate you joining. Do us a favor. Go ahead and hit the like button if you like the content on here today. We saw a lot of you guys chopping it up in the chat over here, so we really appreciate that. So hit the like button, hit subscribe, turn on notifications. You can follow us, and I'm going to put this on the screen real quick so everybody can see our contact information. You can follow us on Twitter down here at the bottom using @SEC2_none. So you can follow us on there. Follow me @BGilmer18. Follow TK @TKUnoDos. And we appreciate everybody tuning in. We may come at you with a little special bonus episode, maybe a guest later this week on here. We come to you every week. Next week after this game, next Sunday night, we'll be reacting to this game. We'll be talking about the new hires. I know Billy Napier got hired by Florida, but that ain't a concern this week. You got a big one there in the bend. So for Tavarius King, I am Blaine Gilmer, and we will catch you next time on the Second to None podcast.